I want to talk to you about going into a battle with the promise. Going into a battle with the promise. I want to go to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16 and then Joshua chapter 1. Matthew chapter 16 and Joshua chapter 1. Going in the battle with the promise. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 17. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Go with me to Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that you've put in my heart. And I just believe, Lord, it's going to be a word that's going to strengthen your people in a time of battle. Lord, I have confidence, God, that this is what you have for us this morning, Lord. And God, I pray you would look into our hearts and you would find humble hearts. Lord, you would find receptive hearts. God, the word is like water. It always seeks the lowest places to bear the strongest fruit. God, let our hearts be humble. Let the word go deep today, God. Lord, you have so convinced me of the power of your word. And where there's humility and faith, God, we can walk out changed by the power of your word. Lord, the Bible says where the word of the king is, there is power. Your word is here today. So we know your transforming power is here today. We thank you, God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, whenever I feel led by the Lord to preach on the book of Joshua, there always comes a gladness in my heart because it just gives me an opportunity just for a moment to mention my time in the military. You know, I was in the military for a few years, and that 3 years has shaped my life in a lot of ways. It shaped my spiritual life in a lot of ways. I didn't get saved till a few years after I got out of the military. But things that I've learned in the military about resilience and fortitude and discipline, God has used it and carry over into my spiritual life. And I just want to say that when I was 18 years old and I joined the United States Army, in the United States Army, the first thing that happens when you enter basic training is they hand you a little book, but a very thick book, and it's called a soldier's manual. And in that soldier's manual is everything a soldier needs to know to war a successful warfare. In that soldier's manual is everything like how to set up a proper ambush site, how to recognize enemy warcrafts and warships, how to apply tourniquets, how to repair your weapon in the heat of battle. Everything a soldier needs to know to war a successful warfare is in that little green book. And I want us to understand that the book of Joshua is the soldier manual of the Bible. Everything a Christian needs to know in order to war a successful spiritual war against the enemy is found in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is the soldier of the Lord's book. When you know about Joshua, his ministry, his whole ministry was to wage war and take ground. And there's so many things you learn about effective warfare in the book of Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1 is loaded with so many powerful truths in regards to taking ground and defeating the enemy. And there's just so much in Joshua chapter 1 that we can talk about. But yet this morning, the Lord has just given me a few truths that I want to look at in Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to call them reminders. What I'm going to share today, many of us, we know these truths, but I feel like the Lord has really put it in my heart that there are people here this morning, and you are in the heat of a battle. You're not just in a battle, you are in the heat of the battle. You are in the fight of the battle. And the Lord just wants to, one more time, just remind you of these truths and encourage your heart in the battle. Amen. So let me just give you a little background. Moses delivered the first generation of the Israelites from out of Egyptian bondage. And he has led them 40 years in the wilderness. And now the second generation is ready to go in. Yet Moses has died. And so the Lord is now raising up Joshua, faithful Joshua, to be his successor. And Joshua is going to lead the people into battle. They're going to go into battle. They're going to go into Canaan land. They're fighting from the victory side. They're already winners. The enemy's already defeated. They just have to go in and fight the battle and win. And so he's leading them into the battle. And before I really get into what I want to talk about this morning, there's just something that I do want to bring out, something that I do feel is important. In chapter 1, God tells Joshua three times to be of good courage. And I believe he tells him three times right from the get-go to be of good courage is because the Lord knows the biggest weapon the enemy is going to use against Joshua is fear. There are going to be times when Joshua and his small army is going to fight against armies that outnumber them 10-1. And if that isn't bad enough, a lot of the armies that are going to fight are going to be made out of giants. They're giant men. They're giant warriors. They're giant soldiers. So God tells Joshua, even when the battle looks impossible, be courageous. I am with you to give you supernatural strength to win a supernatural victory, so be of good courage. So he encourages Joshua from the get-go to be of good courage. But what I want us to understand is the Lord didn't just tell Joshua to be of good courage. God prepared his courage. God had prepared Joshua's courage. Listen, I want you to see something. Look with me at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6, the Lord says to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord spoke those words to Joshua, "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you," that meant everything to Joshua. That them words went in deep to Joshua's heart. Because I understand Joshua had a front row seat for 40 years. He had a front row seat. Being Moses' minister, being his servant, Joshua had a front row seat for 40 years to watch God's transaction with Moses. Joshua was there when God called Moses to fight impossible battles that it was impossible for the strength to win. He was there when Moses desperately needed miracles to face desperate situations and how Moses would cry out to God and God would come through with the miracle that he needed. Joshua was there with the front row seat for 40 years. And so when Moses died and the Lord says, "As I was with Joshua, I'll be with you. Be of good courage." I'm telling you, those words meant everything to Joshua. Because the life and the testimony and the legacy that God and Moses left with Joshua is simply this. In spite of all the impossibilities and battles you are going to face, God will not fail you. That was the legacy that he left with Joshua. And my point is, when God told Joshua to be courageous, he had already prepared his courage. He gave him a front row seat for 40 years. Now, Joshua, you just sit there. One day you're going to lead, but right now you just sit there and you watch my transaction with Moses. And as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. You have a front row seat. He prepared his courage. And I believe with all my heart, God in his own way, in his own time, he just has his way of preparing our courage for the battles. Now, here's where I want to get in what the Lord is wanting us to understand this morning. There's just something very specific from this scripture the Lord wants us to understand this morning. And I want to bring it to our hearts this morning. I want you to look with me at verse 3. The Lord says to Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses." So the Lord just told Joshua, wherever you place your foot in battle, I'm going to give you that ground as I promised Moses. If you have a King James Bible, it reads this way. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And what I want you to understand, if you have a King James Bible, when it says, as I said unto Moses, that word said is actually the Hebrew word for promise. It's the Hebrew word for promise. So again, God is saying to Joshua, wherever you place your foot in battle, I'm going to give you that ground as I promised Moses. And here's the truth that God is setting before our hearts today. Every battle we walk into it with a promise or with promises. Every battle we walk into, we walk in armed with a promise from God. From the moment we were born again until the day we die and go be with the Lord, there will never be a battle we walk into without a promise from God. And that's important. Beloved, understand, for every battle you face, for every adversity you face, for every hardship and difficulty you face, God has a promise or promises from his word. There is nothing we will ever face that is not covered by a promise or a promise from the word of God. Every battle you will face until you die and go to be with Jesus or until he takes his church home, every battle you will face, you will always go in armed with promises from the word of God. Look with me at verse 5. He says to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Just stop there. So the Lord says to Joshua, all the days of your life, no man's going to be able to stand before you. No man's going to be able to resist you. No man is going to be able to stop you. And in essence, what God is saying to his new covenant church through the scripture is simply this. No matter how big the problem is, no matter how big the adversity is, it's not bigger than my promises. It's not stronger than my promises. You know, the Lord said, no man can stand against you. And in the Bible, you find some pretty big men. You know, I can't help but think of Goliath. You know, Goliath was a gigantic man. Goliath was a mammoth of a man. But what God is saying is this, no matter how big or strong or impossibility the opposition or obstacles appear before you, it's not stronger than my promises. There isn't anything stronger or greater than the promises of God. That's what he's saying. Every battle you walk into, you are going to walk in armed with promises. And there isn't anything you're going to face that is stronger and greater than the promises of God. So if you agree with that, can I hear you say amen? Let's try it again. If you agree with that, can I hear you say amen? Amen. It sounds like everybody said amen. So let's then talk about what God wants to address today. It's easy to say amen, isn't it? Ooh. It's easy to say amen, isn't it? Amen. So let's then address what God wants to address this morning. Here's what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Don't let the heat of the battle cause you to forget the promises He has made you from His Word. Very simple. The Lord wants to tell us this morning, don't let the heat of the battle cause you to forget the promises He has made you from His Word. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Familiar story to many of us, but there's really something the Lord wants to speak. So just open your heart. Look with me at verse 24. It says, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against him. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he spoke his word and said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried and said, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying unto him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I know you have heard me preach on this many times, so I'm just going to keep it brief, just setting it up. The disciples are in the boat and they're in the midst of a storm and they're very fearful because the winds are really violent and the waves are really violent and these experienced seamen are in fear of their lives. They're afraid the boat is going to sink and they're going to be overpowered by the winds and waves and they're going to drown. But then they see Jesus walking upon the water and Peter cries out to him and says, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to walk to you on the water. Bid me to walk with you over the waves and the winds and to come to you on the water. And the Bible says that Jesus spoke his word and said, come. And that's important because his power is in his word. The Bible says that where the word of the king is, there's power. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 chapter 2, he upholds all things by the word of his power. You know, the power's in his word. So Peter steps out upon the power of his word and he begins to walk to Jesus. But as we know, he begins to hear the crashing of the waves and the turbulence of the wind. And it takes his focus off of Christ. And when he takes his eyes off of Christ and begins to look at the waves and the winds, he begins to sink in his fear. And he begins to sink in his doubt. And he begins to sink into all these things. And here's what the Lord is speaking. Just want to get right to the point. Here's what the Lord is speaking. So often we begin our battles with our eyes fixed on Christ. So often we begin our battles with our eyes fixed on His promises. But like Peter, we start looking at the crashing winds and the waves and we're moved by it all and we get our eyes off of the promises. Like Peter, we get our eyes on the winds and the waves and start sinking in our fears and our doubts and anxieties because we have taken our eyes off of Christ and taken our eyes off of His promises. You know, we begin our battles with our eyes fixed on His promises. But suddenly in the heat of the battle, when the battle really starts getting hot and the waves and the winds are really turbulent and violent, somehow we begin to get our focus off of the promises and we find ourselves sinking in that place of fear and doubt and anxieties because we've taken our eyes off of Christ and the promises we went into battle with. I strongly feel to ask a question from the Lord. And this question is this. What promises has God made you about your family? What promises has God made you about your children? What promises has God made you about His plan for your life? What promises has God made you about your future? Then why are you now sinking in doubt and fear? Why are you now sinking in anxiety and despair? It's because you've taken your eyes off of the promises of God. You have let the violent sounds of the winds and the waves tear your eyes off of Christ and His promises that He's given you. And my point is, God is saying today, don't let the heat of the battle cause you to forget the promises that I've made you. The winds will blow and the waves will crash, but my promises are greater. Don't let the heat of the battle cause you to get your eyes off the promises that I have made you. Amen. Now, when it comes to talking about battles and promises, there is something important I feel like we need to know. I want you to go with me back to Joshua chapter 1. So the Lord is commissioning Joshua to lead his army and conquer Canaan land. And after Joshua receives that commission, he does something. Joshua chapter 1, look with me at verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provision. For within 3 days you are to pass over to Jordan to go in to take possession of the land." Now look with me at verse 11 again. Joshua tells the officers, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provision." So Joshua told his officers, "We're fixing to go in and possess the land, so you need to tell the people to prepare your provision." And when I read those three words, "prepare your provision," they just jumped out of my heart. They just struck my heart. And I know the Lord was speaking something to me. You see, the Israelites are going to go take a physical promised land. And so when Joshua instructs them, "prepare your provision," he's telling them, "prepare your bread, prepare your water supply, patch up your tents, prepare the physical provision that you're going to need." But in the New Testament, it's the heart that we are to prepare. Now capture that. In the new covenant, it's the heart we are to prepare. God is saying, "I have made you so many promises. I have so many victories for you to experience. Prepare your faith. Prepare your strength. Prepare your vision." So we have to ask a question. Well, then how do we prepare our faith? How do we prepare our strength? How do we prepare our vision? And the Lord just put something very simple in my heart. How do you prepare your faith and your strength and your vision? By my word. By my word. Listen, when God says prepare your provision, God is saying get into the word. The word is going to strengthen your faith. The word is going to fortify your strength. The word is going to enlarge your vision. Get into the word. That's how you prepare your heart for the battle. Amen. God is saying, never go into a battle wordless. To go into a battle wordless is to go in unprepared. In every battle, I have so much to speak to your heart. I have promises to build up your faith. I have promises to build up your strength. I have promises that will expand and amplify your vision. Never go into a battle wordless. Pass through the battle in the word. That's how you prepare your heart. That's how you prepare your provision for the battles. The word. Let me ask this question. For God's people, where are battles won? It's an important question. For God's people, where are battles won? You know, I'm reminded of David's words to Saul when the army of Israel was confronted and faced with Goliath. David said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. I will go and fight with this Philistine." Again, he said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, Saul. I will go fight with this Philistine." And I really want to emphasize the word heart. David said, let no man's heart fail. Beloved, the battleground is in the heart. The battles are either won in the heart or lost in the heart. Winning or losing battles really has nothing to do with the enemy because the enemy is defeated. It has to do with the heart. Amen. And I'm not talking about losing salvation. And I'm not talking about these things. I'm just talking about being fully successful in what God has called you to do. The battle is in the heart. You're either going to win the battles in the heart or you're going to lose the battles in the heart. And I feel like what the Lord is saying is until Christ comes back, we're always going to be faced with battles. And God is saying, get into my word. I have ground for you to take. I have victories for you to win. And the word is going to strengthen your faith. The word is going to fortify your strength. The word is going to enlarge your vision. In other words, the word is going to prepare your heart. Get into the word. Amen. I want to end. Short message, but it doesn't have to be long. I can get right to the point. I think that's a gift the Lord gave me. I can just get right to the point. I want to end with a word of instruction the Lord gave to Joshua. Look with me at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. A lot of things we can talk about in that scripture, but here's the question that's on my heart. So according to what God told Joshua, does Joshua's success or failure have anything to do with how big the enemy is? Does his success or failure have anything to do with how great the enemy is? No, God doesn't even mention the enemy. When he starts talking about Joshua's success and this is how you're going to succeed in the call of God, he doesn't even mention the enemy. No, I believe the Lord is saying, Joshua, your success is determined by your relationship with me and my word. Love my word. Obey my word. And nothing can stop you. Beloved, let me just say it. The enemy really has nothing to do with whether we succeed or fail in the call of God. And every time I say that, I always have people look at me cross-eyed. Every time I say that, I always have somebody looking at me like I have heresy. What do you mean the enemy has nothing to do with whether I succeed or fail? Well, I just happen to believe either Jesus defeated him on the cross or he didn't. Either Jesus fully triumphed over him over the cross or he didn't. I believe the Bible tells us plainly that he did. And I believe often our success or failure in the call of God is based on our relationship with God in his word. Beloved, his word produces faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. His word orders our steps. Psalm 119:133. Order my steps in thy word. His word sets us free. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to them which believe on him, if you continue in my word, if you have a relationship with me in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. His word heals us. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. His word transforms us. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. His word births hope into our hearts in times of weakness and discouragement. Psalm 119:81. My soul faints for your deliverance, but I hope in your word. When we truly understand how powerful his word works in our lives, it is then we have a life in his word. And it is our life in the word that truly determines how much ground we're going to take. I believe that with all my heart. No one will ever convince me otherwise. I will take that belief to the grave with me. It's the life we have in his word that's going to determine how much ground we're going to take and how much ground God is going to take in our lives. Again, until Christ comes back, we are always going to be faced with battles. And I believe God is saying, prepare your provision, prepare your heart. I have ground for you to take. I have victories for you to win. And the Word is going to produce faith. The Word is going to order your steps. The Word is going to make you free. The Word is going to heal and deliver you. The Word is going to transform you. The Word is going to birth hope into your heart in times of weakness and discouragement. And whatever battles you are in, you'll find the resources of God in my Word. Prepare your heart in my Word for the battle. You know, anytime I counsel people who are just deeply discouraged, I just ask them, I know you're in a battle and I know when you're discouraged, but what promises have God made you out of the Word? And they look at me clueless. What promises He made me out of the Word, I don't know. You want to know why they don't know the promises in His Word? Because they don't get into the book. In the battle, this is where your resources are going to come from. When you need strength, go to the table. When you need encouragement in a place of discouragement, go to the table. I really believe the Lord is saying there are people here, you're in the heat of the battle or you're fixing to go into the battle. Prepare your heart. Because everything, the enemy is defeated and all the resources that you need, you're fighting from the victory side. But in the battle, you're going to need resources. You're going to need strength in times of weakness. You're going to need hope in times of discouragement. And it's everything is right here on the table. Amen. From the time you were born again until the time you die, every battle you'll ever face, you'll go into that battle armed with promises that are greater than anything that you can face. And the reason why some of us, including myself, because it's a personal word from my heart, the reason why we're beginning to feel overwhelmed by the battle and by the anxieties and the fear and the doubts is because we've taken our eyes off of the promises that we went into the battle with. And God's calling us one more time, would you just refocus? What are the promises I made you? The winds are going to crash. The waves are going to be violent. You are going to pass through battles. I'm not taking the winds and the waves away. But you're fighting from the winning side. But you got to remember what I told you going into the battle. You got to put your faith back in God and your confidence back in the promises of His Word. And I believe there are people here, you need to prepare your provision for the battle. To not have a life in the Word is to go into the battles unprepared and ill-equipped. 1 Samuel chapter 14, the reason why the Ark of the Covenant was taken is because they failed to take the Word of God into the battle with them. You know, the sons of Eli, they were so disobedient and rebellious, they didn't even invite Samuel to come along to the battle. He was the Word of God. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Beloved, this is my altar call. And it's one I had to make just this morning in my office before coming into the service. So I'm right there with you. But here's my altar call. I just sense there are people here in the heat of the battle. The winds and the waves are crashing all around you. And you're forgetting about the promises that God has made you. I believe God wants to use this moment to refocus. to one more time take our eyes off the winds and the waves and place them back on the promises that he sent you into the battle with. I just feel like the Lord just wants to refocus us this morning. To one more time, put your eyes back on his faithfulness, his promises, and shift your confidence back in the Lord. So if that's you this morning, it might be one, it might be many, but let's just come and give the battle back to the Lord. Let's just come and declare whatever promises that he sent us into the battle with, his promises are greater. Amen. Come on. Lord, I just want to pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters that have come down to this altar. Lord, Father, I know they're in the heat of the battle. I know some of them are in the hottest part of the battle. God, I know the winds couldn't look more violent and the waves couldn't sound more turbulent, God, than at this moment, Lord. God, I know this is when the lion is roaring the loudest. His lies are the loudest. Lord, his voice is the loudest in our mind and in our ears right now. But God, help us to understand that you are greater than the winds and the waves. That the promises of God are greater than the winds and the waves, stronger than the winds and the waves. And God, I just ask one more time that, Lord, you would stir your promises again in our heart. Those promises that we went in the battle with, those promises that you've spoken into our hearts, Lord, while we was in the midst of the battle. God, one more time, would you stir them up? God, those promises that you made for our families, those promises, those very intimate promises that you've spoken in the deep places of our heart regarding our children. God, those promises that you've assured our hearts regarding our future and your plan for our life. God, one more time, Lord, would you just let us hear those promises again? God, would you stir them up in our heart again? And God, one more time, would you stir up our faith? God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, would you stir up our faith? God, would you breathe that rhema word right into our heart again and stir up our faith. Lord, the same faith that David had, little David had, when he stood before Goliath, the same faith that Joshua had when he stood before the walls of Jericho. God, the promises of God were greater than every obstacle they ever faced, every voice they ever faced. The promises that you made, David, were greater than the taunting voice of Goliath. Promise that you made Joshua was greater than the jeers coming from over the wall. It was greater. God, I'm just asking one more time, Lord. God, would you just stir up those promises in our heart? Speak them to our heart again, God. Lord, help us to one more time to refocus, Lord. Let your word be stronger than the winds and the waves. Let your word be stronger than the opposition, God. Father, I pray, I believe there are people here that just need to prepare their provision. They need to prepare their heart. God, we need in the battle, we need to prepare our faith. We need to prepare our strength. We need to prepare our hope. We need to prepare our vision of what it is you're going to accomplish in the battles, God. And Lord, it comes from just having a life in your word, getting into the word, allowing you to breathe life into the word and minister to us of the faithfulness of your character and the faithfulness of your promises and the integrity of the word of God. The integrity, the unfailing faithfulness of the word of God. Lord, I just thank you with all my heart, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you with all my heart. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Just want to say it again. you that came to the altar this morning. Please leave here encouraged in the Lord. That's just a desire of my heart. Please leave encouraged in the Lord. Listen, the Lord never promised that the winds weren't going to blow and the waves weren't going to crash. He never promised that. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And because I've overcome, you have overcome also. So the winds are going to rage and the waves are going to crash, but His promises are greater. His promises are stronger. And so just leave encouraged today. And if you want to stay in the altar a little longer, please feel free to do that. You don't have to run from the altar. But everyone else, let's just stand and we'll close in prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for this service, God, from just the worship, Lord. I sensed your presence, and God, I saw the strength of your presence upon faces, and God, the sweetness of your presence upon faces, and just the result that you're moving in people's hearts, strengthening hearts, encouraging hearts, God. Thank you for the word today, Lord. God, I just thank you, Lord, just one more time, reminding us you'll never go into a battle where you're not armed with promises. You'll never go into a battle not armed with promises. Every battle, you will go into those battles with promises. I thank you for that. And I thank you for challenging us one more time to be people of the Word. God, to have that life in the Word. That Word is what nourishes our faith. God, it fortifies our strength. It enlarges our vision. God, thank you for challenging us, God, to come back to your word. And by the grace of God, let us be those people who walk with you through our battles in your word, God. And just bless our ministers today, God, with hope and strength and encouragement, God. Thank you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to stay around the altar a little longer, please feel free to do that. And everyone else, hope to see you at the potluck.